Fresh Oil.
It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. Now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley. You know, a friend of mine, Bruce Carroll, wrote a song called The Great Exchange. I love that song. I love the truths behind that song. I spoke a little earlier this week about the great chapter, Isaiah 53, the great chapter which records what we call the atonement. I want to read that again today. Isaiah 53, 4, "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." I just believe that is such a powerful passage of Scripture that can change your life when you discover the truths that God recorded here in his Word. Jesus was wounded that we might be healed. You know, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 says, "When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill that which was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, 'He took up our infirmities and he carried our diseases.'" I have heard from so many times from people saying, "Well, Isaiah 53 is just talking about healing of our spiritual sin." No, friend, this passage proved it, that Jesus healed people that day, and he healed them, all these people that were sick, and it was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, "He took up our infirmities and he carried our diseases." I love the fact that in Isaiah 53, it says, "And by his wounds we are healed." I love how Peter put it. 1 Peter 2:24, it said, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Now, maybe you're sitting there today and you're saying, "Keith, if you only knew what I was going through today, I am really sick, or I'm really have a terrible diagnosis from the doctor." Listen, friend, you need to get a diagnosis from God. God's word can give you a better word. His words can give you a diagnosis that you'll live and not die. Jesus was made sin that we might be made righteousness. He took the very thing that held us captive, sin, and he took sin upon himself. He who had never sinned became sin so that I might become the righteousness of God. In verse 10, Isaiah 53, it said, "Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hands." Even though Jesus took on all my sin upon the cross, he did it so that I might be free from sin and condemnation. See, 2 Corinthians 5:21 is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. It says this: "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He became the very thing that held me captive, so that I might have his righteousness." Jesus tasted death so that you and I could have eternal life. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone." Jesus tasted death so that you and I could taste eternal life. John 10:10 is such a great verse. It says, "The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." One translation says, "Have life more abundantly." Do you experience abundant life today? That's God's will for you. That's God's desire for you. He wants you to have abundant life. Jesus was made a curse that we might receive blessing. Galatians chapter 3, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on the tree.'" And verse 14 said, "He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Wow. Christ became a curse so that I could be a blessing. Jesus became poor that I might share in his riches. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Now, I love the message of grace. What is grace? Grace is God's ability in you to do for you what you can't do in yourself. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Notice how many times he said all and every here. In all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Christian, you're blessed today. Whether you realize it or not, God has put a blessing on you. He wants you to be blessed, having all that you need. God doesn't get glory out of our poverty. God doesn't give glory out of Christians not being able to pay our bills. He will work in you through his grace to abound in every good work. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it says, "Because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity, therefore in hunger and thirst and nakedness and dire poverty, you'll serve the enemies the Lord sends against you. He will put an iron yoke on your neck until he's destroyed you." That was God speaking to Israel because of their disobedience. But in this new covenant of grace, what does God do? He gives us all that we need. He causes his grace to abound in us so that in all times, having all that we need, we will abound in every good work. I love the fact, too, that Jesus took our shame that we might share his glory. So many people today live in shame. They're in shame because of their past. They're in shame because of something they did, maybe as a child. But I want you to know something today. Jesus came to take away your shame. He doesn't want you with your head hung down. In Matthew 27, verse 35, it says, "When they crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there." Jesus endured shame so that you and I could be free from it. In Hebrews 2:10, it says, "In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting for God, that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering." Jesus endured shame so that we could share his glory. And you know what, friend? He even took my rejection so that I could have his acceptance. Have you felt rejection in your life? Or were you the last one to be chosen for the team? I want you to know something today. Jesus took rejection so that I could have his acceptance. In Matthew 27, as he was hanging on the cross, it said, "From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' When some of those standing there heard this, they said, 'He's calling for Elijah.' But immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar and put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, 'Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him.' And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up the spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rock split." That had to be one of the worst moments in the history of the world. Jesus, the Son of God, looked up towards the heavens and said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" My friend, Jesus experienced that rejection. He experienced that loneliness on the cross all alone so that you could have his acceptance. I love Ephesians chapter 1. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Are you experiencing that today? "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." My friend, Jesus was rejected so that you could be accepted by God. He was rejected so that you would not experience rejection, but that you would experience His acceptance. In John chapter 12 and verse 32, Jesus said this, "But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." What a beautiful passage this is. Notice the progression here. First, there was the proclamation, and then He's lifted up, and then He draws all men unto Him. You know, in Mark chapter 2 and verse 2, it said, "So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and He preached the word to them." My friend, we can do all sorts of things at church, but our primary focus must be on preaching the word of God. I love to worship, I love to sing, I love to play the instruments, but I really believe the Word of God is important. And that's why we are here today. That's why I'm sharing this program with you, is the Word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. God's Word is powerful, friend. You know, I love that story there, and that's found in Mark chapter 2 and verse 3. You remember when some men came to in Capernaum? They want to come and bring their crippled friend to Jesus, and they can't get in. There's so many people there that there's no room to even get in the door in Mark. And what do? They climb up on the roof. They have him on a cot. They cut a hole in the roof, and they let him down to be with Jesus. It says, "Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. And they bring him and let him down to Jesus, and then he is healed." Now, I've been a Christian for a long, long time, and I'm telling you today, I've observed some strange things, but I have never seen anybody cut a hole in the roof just to get somebody down to be in the service. But I want you to know something today, friend. Cooperation brought reconciliation. When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I want you to know today that God took your sin upon Himself at the cross so that you could be forgiven. Friend, I want you to know today that God took your infirmities. Jesus took 39 stripes upon His back so that I could be healed and I can experience His healing power in my life. I also believe He took my emotional healing upon Himself. I believe with all of my heart that if you're struggling today and you're going through tremendous emotional pain, you might be saying, "Keith, I have a hard time falling asleep at night because my mind just goes and goes and goes." Or maybe you're suffering with depression. My friend, there was a time when I went through depression so bad, even I would be in the pulpit on Sunday morning, everybody would think I was really doing great. But the truth of the matter is, inside I felt like I was dying. Every Monday, I was so low, I really wanted to give up. I really wanted to throw in the towel. One day I was getting ready for church, and I was in the shower, and I'll never forget this as long as I live, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and He said, "Keith, I want your heart." I remember getting angry at God. I thought, "I've served you since I was 8 years old, and you want my heart?" And God spoke to me, and He said, "What is your heart?" And I thought, "Well, my heart is my thoughts, my feelings, and my emotions." And the Lord said, "That's the part of me, the part of you that you've never given to me." And I felt led to go get a journal, a notebook, just a notebook. And every day I would write down my thoughts, and I would give God the end of my day. I would give Him my thoughts of what I was going through. And then I would number my day on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being basically suicide, 10 being the greatest day of your life. Most of my days were 3s and 4s. I really struggled with depression. But you know what I found out? I found out within a matter of just a few weeks, my days began to change. God began to lift me from that spirit of depression, that heaviness that was in my life. And He gave me peace. He gave me joy. And He took away the sorrow that I had been experiencing. My friend, God loves you today. If you need Him, cry out to Him. He's as close as the air you breathe. God loves you.